Okay, good day, everybody. Yes, there's a lekker foundation. A lekker foundation has now been laid. Thank you, Andre, for just laying the foundation for the real session now. That was just the intro. Okay, so I'm going to just share a little bit about Word of Knowledge. I'm going to teach a little bit about Word of Knowledge. Andre's touched quite a bit on that already. And then we're going to share some stories, share some treasure hunt stories. Who of you have heard about treasure hunts before? Lekker. Okay, that's good. Then this afternoon, we're actually going to go out as a practical, go out into Southernwood and do the actual treasure hunt. Okay, so. Woohoo! Okay, before I start with this, yes, key for Word of Knowledge, the key for the for Word of Knowledge and for moving in the in the gifts, maybe let's just put up that next slide there. Just to give a little bit of an overview, I already shared the diagram of the five different offices. But I just wanted to quickly show this again. So there's nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. It speaks about the nine different spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit gifts. And we've, over this weekend, only touched on three of them. Last night we spoke about prophecy, this morning about healing, and now we're speaking about word of knowledge. And you can kind of classify these or categorize these different gifts in different categories. And the one is oral gift, and that's where prophecy falls in. It's God speaking through us, the kingdom within us, what Andrew said, being released through us. The next one is revelational gift, and that's where I'm going to be speaking about now. That's the word of knowledge, and that's God informing us. Okay, so it's kingdom knowledge coming to us. And then the third one is the power gifts. And that's God working through us. That's the working of healing. And some of you have experienced now, so that's actually quite lucky to speak about something that's already happened. That's just the overview. But what is key for all of these gifts, it also speaks in Corinthians that we can move in all of these gifts and really flow powerfully in them. But if we don't have love, then it's no use. And this is really so much on my heart because God told me that if we don't have compassion for the people we minister to, if we don't have a love for the people when we pray for healing, if we don't have a love when we go out and to do the treasure hunts, if we don't really love the person, then this is a waste. Everything we do is a waste. If you don't love the person won't come to salvation because it's about the love of God that draws the person. God's goodness draws the person into salvation. It's great that the miracle can happen, but if the person doesn't get saved, what Anna said, then it's kind of no point. So I just want to pray for us before we start this session, just for a revelation of God's compassion. He's so compassionate about people. He's so compassionate about you and me. He's so compassionate about the people in Southernwood. He's so compassionate about the people in India, in Kenya, everywhere we go. So I just want to release it. Father, we just thank you that your son was the ultimate example of compassion, Lord, and love for people. It's the compassion and the love for people that drove him to go to the cross and to sacrifice his own life. And it was the compassion that you had on the people. For you say, God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us. So Father, we just receive it. Let's just receive it. Just say, I receive the compassion of Christ. In Jesus' name. Okay. Yes, okay, so definition of knowledge, word of knowledge. I took this from the Shofar Bible School notes. It is information pertaining to a person, event, or circumstance, and it is given for a specific purpose, usually having to do with a specific need. Okay? So it's information. What is the word of knowledge? It's information pertaining to a specific person, event, or circumstance, and it is given for a specific purpose, usually having to do with a specific need. So very simply, word of knowledge, and you've actually experienced already now, but a word of knowledge is kingdom information, God informing us about something that we shouldn't know. In the natural, we shouldn't know this. But God is giving us the information. Why? He's giving us information about a person or event or circumstance. Why? Because he wants to meet a specific need. Because he's loved the person. He's got compassion on the person. So he wants to meet the need and therefore wants to give us supernatural insight or information. Okay, now, yes, so I just want to take you now to a piece of scripture. Everybody knows it's probably there, where the woman at the well, in John 4, verse 16 to 19, he speaks about Jesus going with his disciples, and it's a long day's journey, and then he comes to Jacob's well, and the disciples go away to buy food, and then there's a woman, Samaritan woman, coming, and Jesus and her are in a conversation, they're speaking a bit. And then what is interesting is that Jesus doesn't give her like 10 sermons about how the Israelites traveled through the desert and what happened. Now, what he actually says is a simple word in John, or simple sentence in John 4, verse 16 to 19. We read that Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Okay, very simple. "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Okay, so what is that? What do you see there? Word of knowledge. You see what Jesus uses? Instead of like, he could have said a lot of things to this lady. A lot of sermons, a lot of arguing he could have done with her. But he simply asked the question. He said, "Where's your, please go and fetch your husband." And he said, I don't have a husband. Then he said, "Yes, I know you don't have a husband, because the Holy Spirit now is revealing to Jesus, actually you've got five husbands, and even the one that you're with now is not your one." And then later in that same chapter, John 4 verse 28 and 29, it says that the woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men in the city, "Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. He told me all things I ever did." Now, I just want to highlight that, because that must have been the impact that word had on the lady. You know, for her, it felt as if Jesus told her all things that she ever did. She ran away, and she was going to call the people and telling them, come to this well, because I've met this man. You know, he must be of God. This man must be of God, because he had supernatural insight into my life. He had supernatural information about my life. So come and see. So what does the word of knowledge do? Why do we want to speak? Why do we speak about the word of knowledge? Why is it a key and an important? All the gifts are important, but why is the word of knowledge also very important when we go out, specifically in treasure hunting, and go out to minister to people? Why is it important? Okay, it makes them see God. The word of knowledge, it opens the way for the gospel to come. It opens the way for the kingdom to come. See, we spend our time on the three gifts, so prophecy, healing, and word of knowledge. But it's easier to go to someone, to walk up to someone and say, "Hey, I know this is super random, but God is just telling me, you know, you are struggling at the moment with finances. Can I pray for you?" It's much easier to do that. And if he's struggling with finances, the person's like, "Whoa, how do you know I struggled with finances?" Then he says, "Yeah, but, you know, God just revealed it to me. Can I please pray for you?" "Yes, you can pray for me, because what else is going on here, you know?" But it's easier that way than to just step up to someone and say, "Hey, can I pray for you for healing or whatever?" So it opens the way, it paves the way for the gospel to come. So that's one. In the treasure hunt later, we're going to trust for certain words of knowledge, because it opens the way. So, similar now when we did the healing earlier, there was words of knowledge shared, opened the way, people stood up, "Yes, cool, that's me," and then we could pray for healing. So words of knowledge is key when we go out, because we want to trust to supernaturally let people know that, okay, there is actually a God. We've got supernatural information or divine information about you. It opens the heart. It breaks down the walls. And then it just gives us the opportunity to minister, to prophesy over them, to call out the gifts in their life, and to go ahead and pray for healing and everything. And I just want to, now at this point, share a couple of stories, what I've experienced in the last couple of years on word of knowledge, because it's just want to build faith again, or build faith for words of knowledge, but it's also just an easy way of explaining how words of knowledge work. So the first one is, when I was still a student at Stellenbosch, one afternoon I came home, I think it was from rugby practice or something, and when I walked into the res, I just had this random thought in my head, and it said, the thought was just like, go to this specific person's room and just tell him, "Can you pray for him, so that his stress, you know, he's a lot of stress, can you ask him if you can pray for him for stress to be relieved?" So I said, "Okay, I'm going to go." So I went into this person's room, and as I entered, he was busy studying, And I just asked him, "Hey man, how are you?" And he said, "Yeah, he's okay, but he's, you know, I could see he's busy studying." And then I said, "Man, I just felt I must ask you if I can pray for you for relief of stress for your studying." And suddenly I just saw this guy getting tears in his eyes. This is a guy, a man, a third year student in a men's res, getting tears in his eyes, starting to cry. And he said, "Yes, of course, please pray for me because he's super stressed about a test and the stuff that he's writing." So I could just minister to him. I could just pray, you know, release peace over him. And when I went out there, I could just see the relief on his face. And that's just a simple example of how God uses the word of knowledge. Okay. Second one, I was, while I was preparing for a teaching I did in Malawi for missions, I got two different words of knowledge. The one was for a lady. She was either barren or she bore children or she gave birth to children, but the children died. That was the first one. And the second one is that there's going to be a man who's, because of death in the family, he's hardened his heart towards God. So on the day of the, when I did the teaching, whatever, the teaching in Malawi, afterwards, I first said the one about the lady. "Hey, I feel there's a lady here. It's either she's barren, she cannot get pregnant, or she gives birth, but the children die." And it was quiet like this. No one came. So I said, "Okay, thank you, Lord." And then I said, "Okay, but I also feel another word of knowledge. There's a guy, there's a man here that has had death in the near family, and because of that, you've just disconnected from God. You've hardened your heart." And then three men came up. So he prayed for the men, blessed them, and they all had death in the family, and they hardened their hearts, and they were blessed. Later that day, okay, so I just want to share this. I'm sharing a story because you must listen now. So that was the word of knowledge, and people were blessed through it, right? The word of knowledge. I'll get back to the woman later. But later that day, when we were preparing for an outreach the evening, one of the three guys came to me and said, "Yeah, but he actually has his knee. He's got a lot of pain in his knee, and when he stands for a while, his knee's very sore, and especially he cannot really jump and in worship and stuff, because his knee just gets pain. Can I please pray for him?" So I said, "Yes, sure." I got another one of our mission people, and we just released healing over him. And then we asked him, "Okay, let's test it. You know, let's jump up and down." And so he jumped up and down. There was no pain. But we said, "Okay, let's test it in the evening when we have an outreach event, when you actually are standing, you know, for a long time and so forth." And the cool thing is that because this guy was actually elder in the church there, and the whole 7 days that we spent there, he was part of our team. You know, he actually, each evening, he joined us in the outreaches. And even on the last day, as we were going to leave, I asked him, "You know, how are you feeling? How was the last seven?" Every evening I asked him, "How's your legs doing?" And he said, "No pain. No more pain in his legs. He can jump up and down." He was standing like for an hour, 2 hours sometimes. Obviously, there's no chairs in Malawi when you do ministry. And he had no more pain. So what I want to show you is, the word of knowledge, it paved the way. The person came, he was blessed by that, but it paved the way for trust so that he could come later to me for healing, and he received healing. Okay. And what actually happened with the lady is that also after the sermon, I saw two ladies coming to us, and the one lady was actually pregnant, and they came to us, she said, "No, they want us to pray for them." And what happened is, one of the ladies were in the service but had to leave early. So she went out, and the other lady, her friend, that heard the word of knowledge, knew it was for her friend. So after the service, she went to get her at the village and brought her, and then we could just lay hands on her and pray. And like I said, she was actually pregnant at that time, and the lady, what happened with her, she had children, I think two children, but they both died or passed away after birth. And now she was pregnant with the third one, and we could just lay hands on and pray, and we're trusting that obviously we were not there long enough to see when the child got birth, but we trust that she was also healed. Amen. Okay, guys, getting excited. So all these testimonies, if it's my testimony, it's your testimony. Okay, that's how this works. Everybody's testimony is everybody's testimony. That's also how it works in when we go out in treasure hunting. Afterwards, we share what happened, and then everybody is allowed to share everybody else's story. It's not my story or Mark's story or Sean's story. It's everybody's story. It's everybody's story. Okay, it's not about us. It's about what God is doing and how he's reaching the people. Another story, quick one. Was about 3 weeks ago. No, a little bit longer. Maybe a month ago at work. I had the opportunity to pray for a lady for a headache. She had severe headache, actually, because she's just been drinking too much over the weekend. And she had a hangover. And so I was prayed for her. And I asked her, how's it doing? She said, no, not really. I said, okay, can I pray again? Prayed again. Still, nothing happened. And as she said, nothing happened. I just, like Andre said earlier, I just asked the Holy Spirit, why? Why is nothing happening? Yeah, just you can just softly ask the Holy Spirit, what? Tell me, what is the root? Why is this thing not going? So I just, the thought popped in my head, unforgiveness. So I told her, is there a possibility that that you maybe have a grudge in your heart towards someone, unforgiveness? Immediately she said, yes, this is the guy's name, this is what he did. I said, okay, cool. You have to forgive him, because sometimes unforgiveness can block healing to come through, because we actually give the pain or the illness, we give it a grip in our life. Because of the unforgiveness, we're actually giving a door for the devil to keep that pain there. Okay, it's like a grip he has on our body. All right? And so immediately, or after she, I asked her to forgive him, so she forgave him, and then we prayed once more, immediately the headache went. Straight away. No more hassles, no more struggling. And yeah, this is a story of what, that this is the power of words of knowledge. Okay? One last story. Earlier this week, actually, I was going to Buffalo City Technical College, and I was waiting there for appointment with someone, and I saw a lady sitting there at the door as the main gate where I went and entered, and a random thought just popped into my head again. The words came, tell her that you're not alone, or just go and tell her she's not alone. And I'm like, no, okay, I've got an appointment. I'm not going to do that now. This guy's going to come. This is an important appointment. So I wait another 2 or 3 minutes, waiting. The guy's not coming. I'm seeing the lady sitting there. I say, okay, I'll go. So I go, and I put together all my courage to go out there, and I almost just kept on walking past her, because by the, I got courage when I started walk, but almost when I reached, I almost lost the courage again. But for some reason, I stopped, luckily, and I just had a super random conversation with her, just like, hello, my name is Stephen, hi. She's like, okay, what are you doing, why are you speaking to me? I was like, what's your name, what are you doing, what are you studying? Just like building a little bit of conversation. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, I just couldn't take the awkwardness anymore. So I just said, you know what? I've come here for another reason. I just felt God telling me to come to tell you that you're not alone and the Holy Spirit is with you. And she immediately had this massive smile on her face. And she asked me, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I'm a Christian. She said, oh, okay, I'm also a Christian, but I knew something was funny here. Something was not right. And then she went on to say, just in a couple of minutes before I went, or the time when she was sitting there, she was actually telling herself, yo, man, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely right here. I'm waiting for my mother to come and pick me up. There's no one even sitting with me, no one to keep me company. I'm so lonely. And then I come with a random word, God is telling you not alone. You see how this works? This is crazy. This is just crazy. It still blows my mind. And then she just carries on and said, actually, she knows that she's not lonely, because on Sunday morning she was in church, and she just felt God the Father tell her that she's not alone, that exact word, telling her that she's not alone. So it was just like a second time confirmation for her that she's not alone. And I just said, okay, great, be blessed then. Then I went, and gone. Sometimes we just sow the seeds, and we don't see the result. Other time we're there to reap. We're at the end, we give that last word, and great, the person comes to salvation. But sometimes we're just there to sow the seed and go away. Okay, so, but words of knowledge is very exciting. That's the main point. You must get excited. What I want to say now. What I want to say is, You know, I used to believe this. I used to believe the gift things work like this. That you're a Christian and you know, you just walk your path and you believe in God and everything. And then suddenly you would just, you know, I don't know, a lightning bolt will come or something and you'd just like be struck down. You'd like be on the ground. You just, the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord is speaking. And there'll be like two angels. There'll be two angels just before me. And Lord, I can't look you in the eyes. Holy Spirit, I can't look you in the eyes, angels. And then you'll just hear the words, Stephen, speak to that lady at the door. Tell her she must repent. You know, but that is not how it works. That's not how it works. That is how I used to believe. But actually, words of knowledge and the gifting is very natural. It actually comes very natural. It's so natural that you sometimes think, no, this is not of God. It's like these people coming to stand up here. They just took a long shot. Hey, I feel someone elbow sore. Jimmy's, okay, my elbow sore. No angels appear to the person. It's just a thought. God speaks. The Holy Spirit is gentle. You must remember this. The Holy Spirit is gentle. And sometimes we want to soup things up and think that the Holy Spirit is going to fall on us and we are on the ground and crawling around. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he comes with a still small voice and just tells us, speak to that person. There's a sore ankle. Just tell the person there's a sore ankle. Very calmly. It doesn't have to be spooky, nothing. So how do we receive words of knowledge? Through pictures. It can be a picture. It can be just a thought popping into your head. You know, it can be a feeling, like Andre said, sometimes, like Brett had a back, he felt just a back pain. That's just how the gifts operate. It's very, very simple. Okay, now how do we start moving in them? Okay, we've already started moving in them, but the main thing is that you have to start somewhere. Okay, if you're not flying in the gifts at the moment, and you think, such a massive thing, you have to just start somewhere. Just what Anna said, get over that point, step out of the boat. You have to take risk. Okay, especially treasure hunting and operating the gifts, it requires of us to take risk. It requires of us to step out and take risk. Now, I just want to read you a scripture in Zechariah 4, verse 10. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Now, basically, the scripture is just speaking about don't wait for this massive thing to happen, you know, when you feel like you've really had this strong word and you've got five confirmations before you. Now, if you've got a simple word or something, a thought, just step out and trust it. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. That's what scripture says. Don't despise these small, because God wants to trust us with a little, and after he sees us being faithful with a little, then he increases. Okay? When I say this, I heard this, something that C.S. said, Pastor C.S., and it really shook me. He said that if your character is not in place, the anointing will destroy you. If your character is not in place, the anointing on your life will destroy you. You cannot receive the anointing without a character being in place. How does a character get in place? Simply by obedience. So we hear this, we step out. God, I'm just going to obey. I'm just going to obey. Your character starts to develop as we obey God. Okay, so don't despise the day of small beginnings. You know, even if you're just at the grocery store and you feel just an encouraging word, just to tell the lady, you've got such a nice smile. Just say that. Start with just encouraging words. Okay, easy way of starting. Just start with encouraging words and then trust God for moving further. The second thing, once you've started, keep on going. Okay? Don't stop. Scripture speaks in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Do not neglect the gifts that is in you, which was given to you by prophesying with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Okay, so very simply, don't neglect the gifts that God has given you. It's so easy for us to start living a natural life. It's so easy to just focus on our natural work and our environment and whatever, and just kind of get in this habit of living a normal and ordinary life. But Jesus never intended for us to live an ordinary life. He never intended for us to live a normal life. The reason why he gave us, when he went away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Why did he give us the Holy Spirit? To live a normal life. To live an ordinary life. No, he gave us the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an empowerer. He gave us the gifts of the Holy Spirit so we can live a supernatural life. So that's why we have to, scripture speak of stirring the gifts. We have to stir up the gifts inside of us. How do we stir up the gifts? Coming to things like this, going out to treasure hunt, practicing it, stepping out. You have to stir up. Say, God, I want to move in healing. I want to move in words of knowledge. You know, pray and stir the gifts up. You've got to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So scripture speaks of. And then thirdly there, exercise. Okay, two ways of exercising. Practical. And again, this is like the treasure hunting. This is what we're doing now. We're stepping out, going for it. But secondly, and it's a lot of the time this is neglected. And this is the praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. This is the way we exercise our spirit. You know, no one goes and, Honey would know this, but no one goes and just runs the marathon. You know, I don't just tomorrow sign up and do whatever, ultra marathon. No, I run around the block and then I do a 5K and a 10K and a 20K. And eventually I'm fit enough and I go and do a marathon. And if you want to build your physical body up, you know, you go to the gym, you go pump irons, you know. Seb and those guys, pumping irons, getting like a strong, you know. But similar, this praying in the spirit is our spiritual gym for our spirit. Now, when we come to salvation, we are born again. Our spirit is born again, but it's a baby. It's born as a baby, and that baby needs to mature. How do we mature that baby? By praying in the spirit. Scripture speaks of, Paul speaks of continually praying in the spirit. He says that he in the whole of Corinthians, he cannot find enough, or in the whole of Corinthians together, they don't pray as much in the spirit as him alone. That's what he said. Yet he told them in the congregation, you know, don't just speak in tongues. You need to speak in normal words. You need to prophesy so that the body can be edified. But on your own, your personal life, don't neglect praying in the spirit. He says, pray without ceasing. The only way we pray without ceasing is praying in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I want to encourage you guys to pray as often as possible in the Holy Spirit. And now we're going on. Let's see. Okay, let's just stand up and shake a little bit. Let's shake up and say something like, I can move in the supernatural. I've been created to always operate in the supernatural. Okay, the word of knowledge comes easily to me. Okay, great. I can sit again. Okay, this is now just the treasure hunt part. I'm going to ask Mark and Kerwin to come up in a minute or two just to share stories of what happened on the treasure hunt. But very simply, just want to explain to you the treasure hunt. I see most of you. Who hasn't heard of treasure hunt before? Ever? A couple of people. Okay, so very simple. Treasure hunt. Why do we call it treasure hunt? Because God sees people as treasure. We are created in the image of God, and He's placed treasure in us. He's created us in His image. So obviously we're not rubbish. We are treasures. And we want to trust to meet up with those treasures through the treasure hunting. So we call it the treasure hunt. And can we give out those treasure maps? Everybody, you've already got the treasure map with you. I think your treasure maps is there at the back. So in the treasure hunt, we trust God for words and images and pictures, words of knowledge basically. I write them down so that we can find these specific treasures. We don't want to just go to a random person on the street and tell them something. We want to trust God leading us to the specific person that He wants to meet on that day, at that appointed time. So we write down, you see there's actually different areas that we trust word of knowledge for. The one is location. Just going to wait till you have those things. So yeah, there's different areas that we're going to trust God for giving us like words of knowledge for. The first is location. And location that can be like a stop sign, a bench, a digital clock, a coffee shop, Pick and Pay, whatever, a place to go to, you know. And second is a person's name that you just feel popping up. Who had that name for Karen had a name. That's spot on. Then you want to trust for a personal appearance, you know, the color of their clothes or color of the hair, or they've got a hat on, or they look this way or that way or whatever. Then the fourth one, remember the gifts, the word of knowledge is for need, specific needs. So we want to trust God. What is the need? Why do we meet up with this person? So we meet up with them. This is a divine encounter, but why? Okay, we must pray for healing for this or financial need or for, you know, divorce in the family, whatever. And then we just throw that fifth one is a super random one that you just throw in there. So something like lollipop or windmill or Eiffel Tower or something that's totally crazy. Okay, so that's the five areas. And then we write them down. We trust God to give us these pictures. We write them down. And that then becomes our treasure map. And we get together in groups of three or four. We're going to break up in groups of three or four. And then you guys go out. You just pick a starting point. And you go out and you look for these clues. That's your clue. So you go look for someone, for example, someone short. He's got short pants on and a pinkish top, you know. Then I'd go to myself. And then when you come there, you actually just ask him, hey, man, we're doing this thing called treasure hunt. And it's, I know it's super random, but I just felt God highlighting you. I know God loves people and wants to show his compassion to people. And that's why we're doing this. And I just felt God highlighting you because you've got a pink top and you're quite short. And you've got a short pants, and that's what I had on my list. Does any of these other things on my list make sense to you? Do you maybe have a sore elbow, if that's on your list, you know? You just go down the list and you ask the people. If they say no, you just have a conversation with them and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sometimes none of the things match, but the Holy Spirit just gives you a word of prophecy to declare. Even if there's nothing that matches, God leads you to a person. Ask them at the end, can I pray for you for anything? Is there any other need that I can pray for you for? And if they say no, we respect that. Then we don't pray for them. Then we say, you're blessed, and we go away. But if they're open for prayer, then we continue to pray for them and continue listening to the Holy Spirit to give us specific words and prophecies to proclaim over their life. Okay, so I've spoken a lot. Mark, can you just share some practical testimony of what happened in the treasure hunt?
Okay. The first treasure hunt I did, I was not too confident about what was going to happen, but I went with Kerwin and we were at Frey Hospital, and I'd had elbow, but that pertains to this particular story, and we went sort of from ward to ward, and the second ward we went into, there was a guy with a cast on from his shoulder, and it ended just sort of below his arm there. So I thought, okay, well, it could be that guy. So we went over to him and tried to speak to him, but we just couldn't communicate with the guy at all. There was a language barrier. But fortunately for us, there was someone visiting another patient that could speak both languages, and she sort of became our unofficial interpreter. So she spoke to the guy and told him what we were telling her and sort of saying, this is what we're here for. Do you mind if these two guys pray for you? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I prayed first, and I don't know, I didn't really feel anything much, and Kerwin started praying for the guy. And we'd in the week watched a video for Fire Starters of Kevin Dedman, who's quite like animated in the way that he preaches. He like sort of here receive this and receive that. And the one he did, he sort of spoke about being filled with God's presence and sort of asking for an overflow. And the analogy he used, he took his water bottle and poured the bottle into the cap. That like overflowed, and I thought, okay, well, that's a cool picture. So I get this picture in my head. I'm like, God, please just overflow your presence. And the tap next to me started running, and I was like completely freaked out. I thought, okay, the sister snuck up behind me to the basin while I wasn't watching, and I didn't hear her. And I looked around, and there was just no one there. The tap had started running by itself. So I was like, yo, hectic. And Kerwin's busy praying for this guy, and he looks up. He's like, what's wrong? I said, no, just carry on praying. So we prayed for the guy, and then we spoke to our interpreter, and he sort of said, well, what happened, what have you? And yeah, the guy said that his arm felt much better and that the pain had gone away. So that was really, really cool. Then the second story was was better even. We went to Southernwood and we sort of gathered outside. We did our treasure map, and I got paired up with Danielle, and she was a bit nervous about it. I suppose probably feeling what I felt the first time, and she just didn't get a word at all. And Stephen was like, "No, come on, man, just say it. The first thing that pops into your head." And she's like, "Music store." We're like, "Okay, cool." So we went off looking for a music store in Southernwood there, and there was just nothing. So we tried in the, was it a Cash Converter there? Yeah, Cash Crusaders. And we went in there, and they've got all that music equipment, so we thought, okay, we got to go there. And I'd had a woman with a denim like top and a white skirt, and there was a sales assistant there, a lady who had a denim skirt and a white top, so we thought, okay, well, maybe it's going to be her. So we kind of approached her, and then she said, can I help you? And we were like, no, we're just looking. So we walked off about 20 meters or so away, pretending to be interested in all the stuff that we could buy. And we turned around, and then from a distance, we saw that she'd had a bandage on her ankle. And one of the other words I had on my list was ankle. So we were like, okay, we have to go to this woman and chat to her. So we went back to her, and we said, actually, we do need to chat to you. And we did the whole thing, and we said, explained what was going on. And then we both prayed for her, and she under the bandage, there was this big sore that wasn't healing properly. And after both of us praying for her, she said she just felt much better, the pain was gone, and that there was like, and she was like so psyched about it. She was just like, oh, that's amazing, and she was happy, and she was very like blessed by the whole thing. So we were happy about it too, and we went off, and we started looking for stuff on the rest of our map. But then at the end, we were standing by one of the entrances, just sort of all sharing stories of the group and what had happened. And a guy from the store was wheeling out a couch, just going past us, and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Aren't you that guy that prayed for the woman in the store?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "No, you've done a special thing in her life. She's sharing her story with everyone around her and talking and what have you." So we're like, "Oh, that's awesome. That's like cool confirmation in that." And part of what we were doing that day was we were handing out those little shofar contact detail cards with the map and everything on. And we remembered that we hadn't given her the card. So we thought, okay, well, let's take this chance. And we went back into the store and we said, "We forgot to give you this, and we're having the service on Sunday, and we'd like you to come with." And she was busy talking to another woman. And this woman then got all excited and involved. And she said, "Well, it's so important that guys like you are doing this in the city, and it's awesome and it's amazing. And it just gives me faith to hold on for healing for my leg." And we're like, "Your leg?" So we prayed for her leg, and she said, "Oh, the pain like went away as well." So she was really blessed by the encounter as well. And that was just really cool because it was the first encounter. The guy had seen it. He wheeled out the couch. He sort of spoke to us. We went back in, and then there was like sort of secondary healing, as it were, but not directly related to the map, but because of what everyone else had seen. So that was really cool.
Amen. Kevin, can you come up? Now, Mark, how many years have you been doing the Words of Knowledge and treasure hunting? Quarter. Okay. How many treasure hunts have you done? Two. Okay. You see, that happened on the second treasure hunt that Mark did. Okay, so it's for everybody. Healing is for everybody. Words of Knowledge for everybody. Treasure hunting is for everybody. It's easy. Okay. Go on.
Okay. We were also doing another treasure hunt at Southernwood. And I remember it was raining, and we had prayed in the car and everything, and wrote down the words of knowledge or whatever, but I just got like a clear type of like picture, if you could call it that, of red, white guy, red top, right? And this is like the description that just stuck in my head. And I also had bench on my list, and then we obviously afterwards we shared in the car about what's in our different list to see like if there's anything that's, you know, like confirmation, whatever. And then Shane had said, "No, there's a bench at BP Express." So, okay, myself and Stephen, we went down there, and it's pouring. So we go inside, and we're standing inside the store, and then Stephen had a picture, like a colorful type thing on a girl. So we're chilling there, and then there's this girl, or people are coming in, but they're all like in a hurry to get back out and back to their car. So it's like you want to go to someone, and then they're already out of the store and vibes like that. So... But we wait there, and then, okay. So after a while, we're like, nah, nothing's happening. So we go outside, we walk around the store. And as we came around, like, the back of the store, there's this guy with a red top, and he's a white guy. So he's coming in, like, the other direction. But he's walking to his car, and he doesn't really notice us, and we kind of, like, just sneak on behind him towards his car. So, but he gets in his car, and he still seems very, like, oblivious to us, and we walk, and we get to the car, and we're kind of, like, standing at the window. He's obviously, it's rolled up, and but it's under, like, where they clean your car. So we're standing there, and he's sitting in his car getting ready to switch it on, I'm guessing, and he notices us and kind of, like, just ignores us, so we're like... And then, okay, he rolls down the window, and you can see he's, like, very, like, cut off from us and, like, not really wanting to talk to us or whatever. So then I was like, well, we explained the whole thing, and I'm like, yeah, I had this description of a white guy with a red top, and I really think that's you, and explain it to him, and he still seems very, like, nah, like, never mind-ish. And then Stephen had on his list, like, that thing that we need to pray for would be someone that has perhaps like a question about God or for God, right? So at this point, Stephen like asks him, is there perhaps a question you have or about God or something? And then he still seems quite closed off and he's like, should I, shouldn't I? And then he's like, well, I do actually like have a question, and he just like breaks it to us that he's like, sometimes I feel that I'm being punished by God for being gay. And at that point, like, I just felt, like, also that he's, like, very, like, a return of joy, basically. Like, it was just something that came into my head. And then we prayed for him, and we prayed about it and things like that. And then when he left, he seemed better and more chilled and relaxed. And, yeah, he was going off to work. So, yeah, that was just, yeah.